Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's BudPod 197.
197. I like my bread leavened.
Really?
What is leavened bread? What's unleavened? I don't know what leaven is.
Leavening is where it gets all the yeast, it rises.
Okay, so leavened bread is bread with yeast.
It's been allowed to sort of, it proofs, doesn't it? It sort of puffs up before you bake it.
Yes. And unleavened bread doesn't have that process.
Yeah, you had, because when the...
So it's like flatter usually, denser.
Yeah, when the Israelites fled in the Bible, they had to eat unleavened bread because there was no time to prove it. Or they had to make unleavened bread for their supplies.
And does it have its roots in Levant, like the Levant?
I think it might be just leavened as in like levity is like upward high spirits, right? Like raised
oh,
spirits.
Oh, right. Okay.
Are there good examples of unleavened bread? Is a pitta unleavened?
I think so, surely. It's all those flatbreads, like a naan is an unleavened bread, isn't it?
Yeah.
Surely.
Let's see. Varieties. And for the, this is a deep cut. This is a deep cut, Phil, but remember, we had an episode where we discovered that every name of a type of bread sounded like a fart.
Yep. So it can.
So let's see if the types of unleavened bread list follows this pattern. Okay. You ready?
Okay.
Okay. So, Aboud.
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 Aboud. Aboud. Yeah. Aboud. Yeah. That sounds like a fart.
With an AR, yeah. So an American Arbood. Arbood. Arepa.
Arepa, yeah, for sure. Arepa is definitely a way to describe a fart.
Bannock.
Bannock, yeah.
Bannock.
What it is, there's a lot of B sounds in bread.
Yeah.
In bread names. Like, so, those are very percussive. They're very percussive words usually to do with bread.
Yeah, well, matzo.
Matzo. Matzo. Oh, matzo, of course. Yeah.
Roti?
Yeah.
How do you make roti? I think it's still tracked.
Naan.
I think naan. Yeah. Naan's not on the list, though.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
It's undercover leavened.
Is naan unleavened? Here we go. What a question to ask Google. Naan. I thought the answer was saying nah, but it's saying naan. Like, is naan unleavened? Naan.
Naan.
Oh, naan is leavened flatbread.
There you go.
A sneaky leavened. Naan is a sneaky leavened bread.
Leavened. Do you feel as I feel, Phil, that when you get a garlic naan, it's fine, but it's not that garlicky?
I think it's probably a case of garlic being dumbed down for British palates, maybe over the decades.
Do you think? Because it's less garlicky than garlic bread. Not to be all P to K about this, Phil.
Interesting. Garlic naan? Garlic naan?
What's wrong with plain naan?
Peter Bombay. That's that act. Yeah, right, okay. Maybe because there's already so much garlic in the food, but then there's garlic in Italian food.
When I order garlic bread at an Italian-y sort of place, Philip, often I'm gonna say that it's positively swimming.
Yeah, it's garlic as hell, and it's all the better for it.
Yeah,
I suppose because a naan has to find space inside for the garlic. Garlic bread, you can just smother it on top, and you can technically have it like a tower of garlic butter on.
Yeah, it's buttered.
The naan has to fit inside.
Also, a naan.
I've never been able to do the keema naan. I just think that's over. It's just like overkill.
Meat in the bread.
A naan bread filled with minced meat. It feels like something a corrupt earl would eat. You know, in the medieval times, like stuffing something into something that doesn't need stuffing that feels very evil.
Yeah, it's sort of like it's the escalation between macaroni as a side dish and stuffed pasta as a side dish.
Right, all right. So macaroni as a side dish, or yes, you wouldn't have a sort of steak and the side of cheesy ravioli. That would be That would be too much.
That would be insane.
That would be offensive. I'm never offended, and I'd be offended.
Yeah, I know what you mean about the keema naan. Also, it's never like filled with the same nice stuff that's in, say, a samosa. It's sort of it's got something in it, but it's hard to really be sure what it is.
Mm-hmm. I go plain every time, baby. I let the naan speak for itself. I think it's a conduit for the other tastier foods.
Yeah, right? it's a dippy.
It's a blank canvas. It's a blank canvas, Pierre.
Yes, for the artistry of the sauce to be wrought upon it.
You need a blank canvas for true beauty to be achieved. Mm-hmm. Leonardo da Vinci never started off with an easel covered in minced lamb. It would have ruined the Vesuvian man. It would have made him look blumpy.
Vesuvian nun.
Vesuvian nan.
Nan. Although it would have been very Italian of him to start with a blank canvas smothered in garlic butter.
Yes, that would have made more sense.
And that's why all those old drawings are so yellow.
Do you know that apparently part of the reason the Mona Lisa is so enigmatic is that she doesn't have any eyebrows?
Really?
And a lot of our expressions are made with our eyebrows. The Mona Lisa, she doesn't have eyebrows, so it's quite hard to tell what her expression is.
Oh. So we need a sort of Mr. Bean figure to come and draw them on.
Yes. yeah, to improve her.
It is weird.
I'm looking at her now. Yeah, she doesn't have eyebrows, which is something you don't really notice.
Did you know, Philip, that because of the noughties trend for completely removing your fucking eyebrows till they were really painfully thin, people just don't have eyebrows now quite more often.
Well, I mean, they haven't grown back?
They don't grow back all the time.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You can really damage them if you pluck them out. They stay plucked, my friend, in many cases.
Yeah. Don't do that. I used to have a monobrow.
Did you?
Monobrow hairs growing. Yeah. Well, not bad, but just a few hairs, and I'd be plucking them. I'd pluck them out of my monobrow bit, and my dad saw me once. He's like, what are you doing? And and I said, I'm just getting rid of the hairs between my eyebrows. And he said, why? It looks nice. And that was the day... That was the day I learned not to take grooming advice or any aesthetic advice from my father, who thinks a monobrow is debonair.
It's so much more efficient to just have one.
Streamline the process.
Do you think he actually thought it looked nice, or he was just thinking was like, the thing you say is the supportive thing regardless of merit?
Oh, absolutely not. Definitely the first. He would never say something just to be supportive. That he's I think must just come from, it must just be a Chinese-y thing. Yeah. There is this sort of seam in Chinese, especially male grooming culture, where more is better. A long thumbnail, you know, a long fingernail, a bit of hair grown somewhere. Even hair sprouting out of a mole is considered characterful. You know, I think there's... And there's also, with a lot of Chinese people, a hesitancy about sort of intervening with the body, which underlines a lot of Chinese traditional medicine. You don't want anything sort of too effective, like Western medicine.
Yeah, it's too dramatic.
Yes, exactly.
Well, does it come back? Do you have to repeatedly intervene?
With my monobrow, no, I haven't tended to that particular garden for many years, and it seems to have stayed. So I suppose hairs in that area of the face, you know, they don't always grow back.
They've got no staying power.
Yeah, I do have, or like one or two. Do you have these eyebrow hairs that just keep growing and growing, and it's like they haven't got the memo from everyone else? It's like, dude, were you adopted? I didn't, you know, it's like I didn't know a hair could look adopted, but when the very long hair sprouts out of the eyebrow, it looks like, which is the bird that pretends to be a different bird and gets
cuckoo.
Fed by, ah, yes.
Yeah, do you think?
Like the cuckoo of hairs.
It's like, I do have some of those hairs. I know the ones you mean. I knew that they were becoming more of an issue when my barber started asking me more often if I wanted them to be trimmed, and I had to sort of genuinely, seriously assess this request or this idea.
Your eyebrows.
Mm.
You do have good, full, bushy eyebrows.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. And then I remember it was probably after a lot of lockdown in a row. I was like, oh, damn, I can feel the long ones. I look like, I'm starting to look like sort of character actor or something. With these fucking eyebrows, and I thought, you know what, that old Persian guy was right. It's necessary. It's necessary. It needs to be done. I'm also a flaming stick in the ear guy now too, Phil.
Oh, lovely, lovely. I mean, these are things I can only ever dream of. You and the Turkish men, you know, you are lucky enough to be, to have, you know, a surplus of body hair. And facial hair. I'm so nervous about plucking any hair because I have so few.
Yeah.
That I feel very protective. You know, like a couple who didn't think they could have a kid and then finally, right at the end,
yes,
she gets pregnant and it's an only kid and they're so protective about this kid and they ruin his life. That's how I feel about... That's how I feel about a hair that grows anywhere else but my head. I'm like, oh no, yes, and your precious, precious miracle hair, I'll look after you. I won't pluck you. I get very protective about
it. You won't let the hair go on any school trips.
Yeah. It's too sunny outside, hair. Stay inside, isn't it?
Yeah, but then, you know, it's the grass, the hair is always hairier on the other side of the brow, Phil.
Right.
Because
or
whatever.
The hair is always greener on the other head.
Yes. Because you don't have to deal with having a hairy back. And I mean, I'm being a little hypocritical here because, in a sense, despite having one, I do not have to deal with it either because I'm not obliged to have it dealt with. But I sort of even this morning, I looked in the mirror and I thought, how close am I to being a sort of dog man?
Yeah. Yeah. How close am I to traveling circus situation here?
Am I at the stage now where it's not so much giving me a pat on the back as stroking my back? Like a dog man. Hi. I'm Alan Crum, Professor of Relaxing at the Meditation Academy. This is a free sample of our meditation app, so why not just close your eyes and give it a try? That's it. Now that your eyes are closed, take a deep breath in for a count of three. And out. Repeat this as I continue to speak. Just relax and try and picture yourself lying on a sunny beach somewhere, hundreds of miles from the thousands and thousands of deadly bees that swarm in and out of hives all over South America and Africa. Not to mention the hornets. You ever seen those? Sometimes they can get really... There's one in Japan that's the size of a squirrel, really. And they can keep stinging you. Whereas when a bee stings you, there are tiny hooks on its stinger, and as it tries to unsting you, it rips out its own guts. Keep breathing. Think about the sand. It's hot under your fingers. the soothing waves, lapping gently at the shore. There's no reason at all to think about the billions of crawling insects that cover the face of the earth, and what's worse, that without them, all life on earth would perish. We need them. That's the worst thing about them.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Do you know that we get goosebumps? If it's from back when we were hairier, right? And you, when you were cold, your hairs would stand up to provide a thicker layer of air insulation. But our bodies haven't realized yet that we've shed all that body hair, and
idiots.
But the goosebumps still are there, and apparently also when you're like challenged or excited, it happens as well. And that was back when when we were hairier, it would make the hair stand on end and make us look sort of bigger and scarier.
Yeah. Well,
but you probably still have that more than me, anyway.
Yeah, maybe. How much warmer do you think I am?
You do sweat more than me.
It's true. We've measured it.
Yeah. We've strapped both of us up in sort of upside down crucifixes and a bucket at the bottom.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's right. Maybe that's one of my... I do know that if on the very rare occasions where I would clean shave my face and I would shower or drink water or go for a swim, my face would be so cold.
Hmm.
So my face is definitely warmer than it would be otherwise. I thought you got goosebumps, Phil, when it meant that a goose was looking at you.
Right. I mean, it could sense. If the goose was threatening you.
Well, no, just it could be on a. It could be like Jason Bourne on a skyscraper.
What do you mean?
Like it could be looking at you from that distance.
Sense.
Yeah.
Right. Your body, okay. Yeah.
Geese are so dangerous. Your body knows when a goose is looking at you.
Oh, speaking of which, today I was on the bus somewhere, and on the top deck, front, as I always try to be.
Yep.
And I saw a friend walk past, and I was like, it's Hannah. And I got my phone out, and I took a photo of her, and she was like picking her nose.
No.
And I snapped it just in time for her to like be picking her nose in Deptford. With no clue anyone was watching her. And I said, there's no better feeling, Pierre. Do you get to do this much? Of sending someone a shock photo of themselves when they didn't realize that you were watching them. I love it so much. It's my favorite thing to do. I never feel more powerful than when I've taken a photo of a friend who doesn't know I'm there.
Does it give you
doesn't know anyone is watching.
Does it give you an insight into the thrill of perhaps a sniper or an obsessive stalker?
Oh, certainly of a sort of a perverted voyeur, yes.
I think I've done that a couple of times when, like, I don't know, I've seen a friend in a pub or something like that. But you did something very different here, Phil. You caught them in flagrante, nose picking wise.
It was complete chance. My only objective was to get my phone out and get a picture before the bus moved on. And the second I managed to snap that pic, she just gave her nose a big squeak with a palm there, and she looked sort of monstrous just for a moment, and that was wonderful to be able to see.
Monstrous just for a moment is great. Is that the caption? Is that the caption you sent with it?
Yeah, monstrous. Dot dot dot. Just for a moment.
Just for a moment. Well, Phil, I mean, this is the thing. You've got that journalistic instinct.
That's it. Yeah, I'm a real soft shoe. No, that's the detective, isn't it?
A gumshoe. A soft shoe is a dance. Gumshoe.
That's a dance. Yeah.
You're a real journalist.
What's a sort of 1950s American slang term for a journalist? A hack?
Yeah, a hack, a snoop or something? I mean...
Snoop. That's more of a spy.
Yeah. Hang on.
Hack.
Slang for journalist. I don't know what you mean. News hound.
News hound. Yeah, I'm a real news hound.
A reporter. Star reporter. You say things like extra, extra.
Extra, extra. Read all about it. Yeah. The price of bums are up.
Oh, no. It's cost of bum crisis is... The cost of bum. The cost of bum crisis. Phil, can you tell us where you're on the bus to?
Oh, well, I am partaking in this year's The Wrestling as part of the Just for Laughs Festival in London. And I've been receiving some wrestling training today, Pierre. I had my first session of professional wrestling training.
Day one of wrestling school. You've got to walk in and use a steel chair to hit the biggest guy there.
Yeah, they weren't happy about that. They're like, what the hell are you doing? Yeah, he's in hospital now. Shouldn't have used an armchair, really.
No, but it's a good character arc for you.
Yeah. It was really fun just to get to throw myself around. It's a teenage dream. I loved wrestling so much as a teenager. And it's funny that now I feel more sort of gingerly about doing these moves. Whereas in the past, when I was encouraged not to do them, I was trying to do them on anyone who would let me.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh, just be careful. Oh, sorry. Oh, my neck. Oh. There's a lot of neck stuff. One of the instructors said, we like to think of our neck as an extra limb. And I thought, we are different people. I can't imagine being so confident with my neck. I just think of it as another arm.
Yeah, you don't go, well, I was busy holding the phone and making an omelette. So I just used my neck to shut the door.
But I realized that's why all these professional wrestlers, they all have such huge neck muscles.
Yeah.
And I always thought, why do they focus so much on their neck? Surely they're not. They don't need their neck. But so much of the fundamental wrestling technique in professional wrestling is about keeping your head safe and curling up and falling right and rolling. And that's all to do with keeping your neck up, your head up, and curling your neck. And so they just build these huge necks.
Yeah, they all very much have like these big, like thimble heads, like they're wearing a bin.
Yes.
It just goes straight into their shoulders.
Yeah, you look at like Brock Lesnar.
Oh?
And it's like Brock Lesnar. You don't know who Brock Lesnar is?
I don't know wrestling at all, my friend. This is a different
world. Really?
No.
But you were a, how do I say this, schlubby loser as well. Why didn't, I thought that's what we were all into.
No, see, in my milieu, in primary school at least, it was the kind of slightly edgy kids who were super into wrestling and kind of almost everyone. It was the majority's joy.
Huh? Really?
Yeah.
How funny.
I just, even as a child, couldn't get over the fact that it was so tangibly not real. And I know that's not the point, and it's a performance, and blah, 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 and it still requires great skill. But I was so confused as a kid, because I was just like, but there is real one. There's boxing as well. Like if you like fighting, wait till you see real fighting.
Real fighting sucks. Well, that's not what professional wrestling is about. We watch professional wrestling because it's good, because it's narratively satisfying in a way that boxing rarely is, and Greco-Roman wrestling certainly isn't. And I didn't realize until my adulthood just how camp it is. It's professional wrestling is so camp, and it's just so like high energy and silly and goofy. And I think what it was is the closest to seeing real life superheroes. I think that's why a lot of sort of dweeby boys like it.
Yeah, maybe that's... I don't know.
Because they're superhero stories, basically.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Good and evil and... You know, the right and wrong and the righteous and the, you know, cheating and the, you know, the goody two shoes and the heels. Oh, it's brilliant.
Yeah, I think I just found it to discern who was supposed to be good or bad, because it was all just like kind of just giant dudes and speedos just sort of going, oh yeah, a lot. And I could never
quite...
The best
bit of watching wrestling is when they sort of, you know, they have to cuss each other out. But because it's like pre-Watershed and has to go on TV and is aimed at sort of kids as well, they can't swear.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that's why The Rock had to come up with like candy ass and jabroni. And I remember someone being called an egomaniac. And that was the end of that's like they were building up to, you're an egomaniac. And I was like, I never even heard the word egomaniac before, but it must be pretty bad because... I thought they were going to say cunt. That's the energy that they were building up with. They're building up with cunt energy, but they said egomaniac.
Egomaniac here on the Crazy Wrestling Show.
I mean, ass was the worst they could say. So yes, so there's all these supposedly ferocious, macho men who didn't care what anyone thought and could, you know, didn't care about the rules and... who would never say a four-letter word.
Yeah, they're just there. You're a real picklehead. Your behavior makes me like furious.
They really are like playground insults when you go back and watch them now.
Yeah, I don't know. I always associated it with a certain type of extremely rowdy kid in my primary school on the Isle of Man. And then I remember when I came to uni, I was shocked that so many, you know, of the sort of comedy dorks liked wrestling. I was like, really?
Yeah, there's a lot of crossover. Comedy, comic books, wrestling. I mean, comedy and wrestling are very similar, especially like live comedy. Stand-up and wrestling are very closely linked. A lot of professional wrestlers retire and try stand-up out and do stand-up for a bit.
Oh, right.
Mick Foley, Ric Flair has done it. Rowdy Roddy Piper, I think, has done some. Because it's kind of the same skills, really. It's all mic skills and getting the crowd on side. And
being able to fall down.
And falling down. And...
being an egomaniac and saying the word ass a lot, it does track.
It's also about it's also a lot about building up your own image only to be undermined, right?
Yeah.
A lot of comedy is about building something up and then you undermine it. And a lot of wrestling is like, this Saturday, I'm gonna, and then you lose or whatever. it's all about setting up expectation and then subverting it, right?
Yeah,
so it's kind of the same thing, really.
Do you have a signature Except move worked out? Strong.
I haven't got one yet. Thing is, we have to work with what is realistic for me to do.
Yeah.
Because the kind of moves that you take for granted watching professional wrestling is like, oh, body slam, boring. A clothesline, lame. Do something difficult. Yeah. And you actually try them, it's like, oh, fuck, these are pretty hard, actually. These take weeks to get down.
Could you do like a kind of silly joke?
But
one?
I've been saying I'm gonna do the Hurricane Rana. I'm gonna Hurricane Rana everybody. Well, do you know the Hurricane Rana?
The name rings a bell from the dark.
It's a move usually preserved for live, sort of. What are the Mexican wrestlers called?
Luchadores.
Luchadores, yeah, or like. A lot of the female wrestlers would do it, where you get up on the person's shoulders, sit on the shoulders, and you flip backwards and you throw them over.
Right.
It's not something that someone of my physicality could do. But I've been saying I've been telling everyone I'm doing the Hurricane Rana and I'm going to Hurricane Rana everybody. I'm going to Hurricane Rana the audience. I'm going to the audience. I'm going to Hurricane Rana everybody.
Then you're going to go out into the street and Hurricane Rana the people on the bus. It's going to be like Godzilla. Are you gonna, when you're bigging yourself up, are you gonna mention your kung fu training?
No, I didn't mention it today even. It's just embarrassing because then, you know, I've forgotten most of it. And although we did do an arm hold today and, you know, I remembered my arm hold training, my wrist lock training.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's particularly relevant, to be honest. Where it has been relevant is rolling. I'm quite good. I got quite good into rolling. I can roll quite well.
just roll the whole time. This the holy roller.
Yeah, it might be funny. I just roll. Yeah, and then they just get so dizzy watching me roll around, they just collapse, and then I pin them.
Well, you roll under their legs, like you're all over the place. It's like they're on a rolling ship.
We should read some corolling respondents,
Yes, it's time to climb the ringside ropes of correspondence and dive onto the prone opponent of emails.
Nice.
Yeah.
Ring letters. Emails. Phone calls. Correspondence.
Wrestling, is it real? Is it real?
Yes, it truly is. Wrestling is real. All the anger is real. All the people aren't fake. All the punching, it hurts. All the bleeding is real. All the shouting is real. They really hate each other. It's real, real, real. That's right. Wrestling is real. Tell your kids.
I like all the shouting is real. Like someone going, wrestling's not even real. And you go, all the shouting's real.
Oh, you think they're not really shouting up there?
You idiot.
You go to a live wrestling show, you tell me they aren't really shouting. You can't, can you? You can't.
Yeah. So we have an email from Rish.
Rish?
Yeah.
Rish the dish. Is it our prime minister? Rish Sunak?
That would be the worst way to be undercover. Yeah. It's sadly it's not, but his emails.
Imagine Rishi Sunak turning up with a moustache. Yeah, is that Rishi Sunak? No, I'm Rish.
I'm Rish Kunas.
Rishi Hunak? I don't know who Rishi Sunak is. I'm Rish.
I think the Prime Minister's doing a great job, etc. Rish says, "Dear Red Hot Philly Pierpers."
Nice. I like that a lot.
Really good.
That's a goodie.
He says, I saw this billboard where recently knighted, that's how old this is, Sir Lewis Hamilton was proclaiming, I am a pilot. So
yeah, that's why he's been knighted.
Have you seen the billboard?
Services to Bud Pod. The billboard, no.
So he's advertising a big fancy watch, and there's a lot of crossover between people who love Formula One and people who love big, chunky, expensive watches.
Oh, yes, there is. Why is that?
I just think it's a personality type where it's like, I love machines. Shiny, expensive machines.
Mm.
So...
Have I found it here?
The caption is...
I'm looking this up.
Once I dreamed to become the fastest driver. Today, I am a driver of change. I am a big pilot. That's what it says. It says, I am a big...
Oh, here it is. The big pilot.
I am a big pilot. Is that the name of the watch?
That's so bad. Yeah, it looks like the name of the watch is The Big Pilot.
That's such a name.
Such bad copy. What does it mean to be a big pilot? This is a problem. This is such a bugbear of mine. People mixing their metaphors with words to do with size. So massive is the worst one. Massive and massively. This particularly British thing. I'm massively for that. Or I heard someone saying they'll be massively racing against each other. You can't massively race. You're mixing your metaphors. It drives me fucking crazy. And like people who you expect better from, journalists and stuff, will say, I mean, you say this is a massive problem. That's fine. But you say Rishi Sunak will be massively worried that you can't worry massively.
Unless you get
it
bigger.
Oh, it drives me crazy.
You get maybe they mean he's stress eating.
Also, just the worry's filling his body and he's just slowly inflating.
Yeah.
And sort of pushing people off the benches in the Houses of Commons. People are like, oh, what the? Oh, no, he's massively worrying.
Also,
he's massively worrying.
Also, like, I always find it strange when you get someone who's like, it's Lewis Hamilton, right? So he's English, and it's the caption is in English, but it's written in English as a second language. So it's, once I dreamed to become the fastest driver. Become. Once I dreamed of becoming.
Right.
I dreamed to become.
Yeah.
It's like it was written by the guy who sent him enough diamonds in a case to get him to do the advert.
It might as well start off with my friend. That's how that's how English second language it is.
My friend. Once I dreamed to become the fastest driver. That would be a funny, that's a funny idea. Like an English as a second language teacher just going, now don't forget to say my friend.
Everyone's your friend. That's the thing to remember, is everyone's your friend.
Today I am a driver of change. What does that mean? I am a big pilot.
Yeah, what is the change here? This is always something that happens in advertising as well. It's like, be part of the revolution. So what, it's slightly different style of trousers. This is a revolution, is it?
Yeah. No, don't let anyone tell you what to do. But you should wear this watch.
Yeah.
What?
It's like the world will, it like messages that basically are the world will never be the same after this product. And it's, they show you a watch that is indistinguishable from any other watch. Or like you watch an advert for a car, and it's like and the advert is like a guy, he's out with his family, and his car drives past, and he's like, and he drops the shopping, or he drops the kid or whatever.
Yeah.
Because he's so amazed by this car. And you look at the car, and it's just some fucking hatchback. It's like any fucking car on the roads in England. Like, what? What are you talking about?
It's
what
it's
do
like
you mean? It's
blue,
the same. My friend, this is the same. My friend, you dream to be making a new product. This is the same.
It's like, yeah, it's just, it, as you say, it's always just like, it's shaped like a bar of soap. It's blue and it's driving through a town. And inevitably, they only mention the thing that makes it different towards the end after they've talked about revolutions or whatever. And then they go, it's got Bluetooth. You go,
the revolutions are so subtle.
Yeah.
The new elements of this old product are so subtle. this new model wasn't even necessary.
No. No, you've presumably only released it because everyone else's old models are full of crisp packets or something.
I really don't get the watch thing. When I was younger, I was like, oh yeah, I must have a good watch. When I was a teenager, I've always had a watch. This is, which it turns out marks me out as quite different from most people my generation. I've always had a watch. There's a photo my mother's unearthed of us like going to our first day of school. I'm like 7 or something. And I've got my little white shirt on, and I've got my big backpack and my shorts, my blue shorts, and I'm walking with purpose to school. And I've got a watch. I've got like a leather strap watch on. I've always had a watch. But now I'm like, it doesn't need to be expensive. Why? Who cares? It's such a weird thing to care about, a watch.
Yeah, and when you see them, and it's like
so old.
Oh, it's got an altitudometer, and it costs $80,000, and you just go, oh no! That's my gut reaction is, oh no.
You know, your phone can do all these things and more.
Yeah, your phone can do all of that, and I don't know if you knew this, but it also has access to all human knowledge.
you could call in an airstrike with your phone easily.
Even the Apple Watch, it's like, it's so good, it's just like a tiny phone on your wrist, and you go, right, so like a second phone. Cool. Can you imagine saying with a straight face in a kind of sexy look at my watch way, I'm a big pilot.
I need this phone. I need this watch. I need an expensive watch. Why? Because I'm a big pilot. All the small pilots, they have cheaper watches because they're small.
I'm a pretty big
but
pilot.
I'm a big pilot.
Rish says, I have no idea why he's saying he's a big pilot here. Can you decipher it?
Well, we've been trying.
We've been trying,
We've been
Rish.
Trying, Rish. We've been trying our best, we promise.
He says, maybe some old guy tried to mess with his F1 car and he came over and said this haughtily.
I mean, is it that the... Is it a Tag Heuer?
I'm a big pilot. Huh?
Is it the name of this model of watch is... Oh, no, it's not Tag Heuer, some other watch. Is the name of the model Pilot and the Pilot. So this design of watch is called the Pilot and this is a bigger version.
Yeah,
It's the Big Pilot.
Yeah, but even
then
it's
gone, okay, we need to figure out copy that goes with Big Pilot.
But then it's such a bad name. Why would you be a Big Pilot? you could there's so many other words for big.
Massive,
Phil.
Gargantuan Pilot. Titanic Pilot.
Yeah.
It's not Titanic anymore.
I don't know. Go like fake Latin. Pilot Majoris.
Nice.
Pilot Magnum.
Ooh.
Yeah. No, I'm a big pilot.
Grande. Grand Pilot. The Grand Pilot. That's nice.
The Grand Pilot.
I'll buy a watch called the Grand Pilot.
Yeah, no, a big pilot.
Big pilot. This is a big pilot.
This big one. Although Rich does point out, Sir Lewis Carl Davidson Hamilton MBE Honfreng.
Honfreng?
On Freng. Full title. It's some honours. I'm not sure which one. Being
for
knighted.
England? Honour for England.
Honour for England.
For England.
Saying him being knighted makes sense when you think of him as riding on behalf of his kingdom in life-threatening tournaments. There you go. It's true.
Ah, of course he's basically a modern-day jouster, Pierre.
Yeah.
I'd love an MBE. I'd love an MBE. People always talk about, oh, I turned down my MBE. Oh, people should turn that. I will take it. I will bite their hand off to take that MBE.
What kind of MBE do you want, though?
What is it? MBE, OBE?
Well, no, because it's...
Oh, there are different types of MBE.
It's MBE for services too, you know.
Oh! Services to love. That's what I want my MBE for. Services to love in. I think just services to like... Is there one for services to just being a chilled, sensible guy?
Yeah, I think so. I think, but you have to be in the royal family for you to get medals for that sort of thing. I think that's what the Queen used to say to the various relatives. You've been really chill this year, actually. And she'd give them a big star.
To be honest, last couple of years, that would mark you out as a star in the royal family, just to be chill and not do anything mental.
Yeah. We don't want you to go away from the royal family thinking the squeaky wheel gets the oil.
The OBE is Order of the British Empire. MBE is Member of the British Empire. OBE is better in it.
It goes Member, Order, Commander.
Member, Order, Commander. CBE. Oh, so that's the biggie boy, is it? CBE?
Yeah, CBE is difficult. That's a high difficulty one to get.
Who gets to be CBE? I'd love a CBE. Can you... Wait.
What?
No, surely... Wait. Oh, no. There's a picture here with one of the public school white boy actors. I can never remember his name. I can't even remember right stuff right now. I took a couple of knocks to my head wrestling training earlier, you know, and I can't really think of things. Is that good? Is that a good sign?
You've double suplexed the memories right out of your brain.
Oh, no. Stephen Hawking, Harold Pinter, Hugh Laurie CBE, Johnny Wilkinson, Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah.
I mean, of all those, Helena Bonham Carter feels... Wait, no. Johnny Wilkinson. Yeah, Johnny Wilkinson feels attainable because... No, it was just one good kick, wasn't it, really?
No.
A CBE for one good kick. I don't think so. Hugh Laurie, that's what House gets you, I guess. CB Harold Pinter,
yeah. It's all those pauses.
Stephen Hawking, yeah, I guess that's fair enough for Stephen Hawking to be a commander of the British Empire.
To change how we think about time.
OBEs, J.K. Rowling, David Beckham. Now, I would have thought J.K. Rowling would get a CBE over say Harold Pinter or Hugh Laurie. I mean,
yeah.
Harry Potter's pretty enormous.
Yeah, but it's not about money. It's not about money, Phil. It's class.
Class.
The class system is immune to money. That's its only power.
That's true.
The second
don't really have money.
The second it's not immune to money, it might as well just be like, you know, fucking Disneyland.
Now here, Frank Lampard has an OBE, but Steven Gerrard has an MBE. How have they come to that distinction? Frank Lampard is the posher. Frank Lampard did used to get made fun of, didn't he, for being quite posh, for especially among sort of professional footballers.
But it's always some shit that we don't know. Like Frank Lampard then went and did a bunch of, I don't know, football outreach programs. You know, you're gonna have to do something like that, Phil.
Rob Brydon has an MBE. Okay, now we're getting to the clowns.
The clown layer, yeah.
Yeah, the clown layer of the cake. I'd love it. Would you accept an OBE or an MBE?
I think I would, yeah. I don't know. I'm slowly losing my Republican beliefs. Not out of any change in my thinking, but just out of exhaustion, really.
Yes, that's how we get you.
I think it's sort of
like... I'm a Republican. I just kind of like the pomp. I know it's lame, but I like a certificate. I want to get a medal. Yeah, of course. I'd be lying if I said I didn't.
Well, that's the other thing is you think, well, no one else is going to offer me a fucking certificate.
My case for the royal family and keeping the royals is that public life is to an extent a play, and there's no need to get rid of good characters.
Yeah, okay. That's a more cogent argument than much of the tabloid press would have.
Thank you. Big pilot.
You're a big pilot for change.
I'm a
Revolution.
Big pilot.
Revolution watch.
I'm big pilot. I like royal family because they are big pilot for opening swimming centers. Big pilot.
Oh, God. Well, Phil, the time has come for us to backflip into the VIP ring of the Patreon.
Yes. Okay. Yes. We need to announce...
Oh, shit.
Yes, we almost forgot. We need to announce, and patrons would have got an early announcement, but we are now announcing to all our wonderful pod buds that we have, much to my chagrin, put on a second Bud Pod Live. The first sold out so quickly, and only to patrons, that we put on a second show at the Leicester Square Theatre. It's gone on sale now.
It's a bigger room, and it's on sale now.
It's a bigger room.
The link is in the description of this podcast, guys, and we've been tweeting it. Bud Pod Live Part 2. It's 14th of March, isn't it?
14th of March.
Mm-hmm.
Valentine's Day. If Valentine's Day was in March.
Yeah. Leicester Square Theatre.
It'll be a really fun time. It's a great theatre, Leicester Square Theatre. I've done many a show there, but never with Pierre.
No.
So that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
And we're all going to hang out afterwards, aren't we? And we're all going to get pints and smell each other's butts like dogs.
Yeah, like we're going to barricade the theater and kill each other one by one.
That's one of my favorite lines from Batman Begins, is when Bruce Wayne approaches the mob boss who killed his parents.
Mm.
And the mob boss is like, "Your father, he begged. He begged for his life, like a dog." I always think of that. When I hear the word dog, I just think, like a dog. Especially because it's an English actor doing this accent.
Like a dog. Like a dog. Who's the English actor?
Let me see. Is it Maroney that he plays?
Yeah.
Begins. What are the crime families in Batman? The Maroneys and the Falconis. I don't think he's the Falcone. Maybe he's Falcone. Maybe he is. Yes, he is Carmine Falcone. And it's played by... Who did Falcone do? Oh, God, Tom Wilkinson.
Hey? I don't know who that is. Who is that?
If you look him up, he's one of those English actors where you're like, who the fuck? Oh, yeah, I've seen him in every day of my life since birth. He's one of those English actors, you know. I've never heard that name before. It's like, oh yes, he lives in my veins.
Well, while I'm looking him up, guys, there's also tickets left for the extra dates at my Soho Theatre run. 6th, 7th, 8th of February.
Yes, get those tickets too.
Soho Theatre, early Feb. Few table things. Oh, this guy was in the Full Monty. Weird.
And also my tour, a couple of dates have already sold out, but a couple of dates have not. Especially Glasgow. Whatever the opposite of sold out is, that's what Glasgow is. So if you're in if you're in Glasgow, do check out my my tour date there, please.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, please, please. So we've got Bud Pod Live, 14th of March, Soho Theatre Extra Dates, Phil's Tour, brackets, Glasgow.
Yes, but also other places.
And other places that are nearer to you than Glasgow, potentially.
Potentially.
All right.
But otherwise, see you guys next week or this Friday if you're cool. Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.